Series. I told y'all back in January when we started the series on Matthew that we'd be doing a series this summer on the Beatitudes. And so today we are starting that series on the Beatitudes. And so if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew, and we'll be teaching from Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 5, it's the Beatitudes is the very beginning. It's the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It's what Jesus used to start his most famous sermon of all, and the Sermon on the Mount, and he started it out with the Beatitudes. And so we're beginning this of the 8 weeks. This is an 8 week series, but it's going to be a unique series because I'm not teaching all of it. I'm not preaching all of it to you. We're going to have two other guys that's going to help me. David Cox and Pastor Bill is going to help do this. They'll be doing a couple of messages throughout this as well, just kind of so I can, number one, I can take a little bit of a break. I've been preaching since March of last year, so that was the last Sunday that I didn't speak, and so I need just a little bit of a break. So so they're going to help me out in this series, and so they'll be doing a couple of messages each, and so it's going to be a good series. I think you'll get a good perspective from all of us. And so it's time. We're going to begin. Think about this for just a moment. When we get sick, we usually start off with over-the-counter medications, don't we? What do? What's the first thing we do? We go to Walmart. We go in there and we try to see, okay, what are my symptoms? You pick up the box. You know what I'm talking about. And you look at the bottle. You look at the box. You look at, that ain't no good. You know, set it back. But you want to find the right over-the-counter medication. We go to the drugstore, right? We try to find something that we think will fix our problem and help us to feel better. We want to feel better. We do everything we can. But if the problem persists, at some point we will determine that this problem is beyond us, right? It's just more than we can take care of. It's time. We will decide that medicine's not working. The cough syrups, the different things, those different syrups, they're not doing the job. The pills are not strong enough. And we'll realize that the stuff that we have the power to purchase over the counter, it's just not working, right? And we realize that something deeper must be wrong. There must be something more going on in our body, in our life. And we call the doctor. We decide we've got to go to the man, right? The man that knows. The man that went to school for all those years. And we're going to call him. We're going to find out. And we come to the place where we recognize that we do not have the capacity to get what we need to fix what's wrong. So we go to a professional. We go to somebody who knows what they can do. Someone who can diagnose and prescribe the remedy for the deeper issue that we weren't aware of. And sometimes in our own humanness, we can't fix our own problems. Purchasing our own pills can't fix it. Homespun remedies can't fix it. So sometimes there may be something deeper going on inside our life. Could it be that the reason that life is not working for many of us is that we are still locked into our human confidence? We think, well, I can handle this on my own, right? We think, well, I can do this. I can take care of this. I can make it all work out. I can make it all just come into place. And we take these over-the-counter solutions, and then we wonder why inside we still feel sick. We try things. Things on the outside, nicer cars, houses, clothes. Those things, they just don't give us true blessings. We can't find comfort in those things. True blessing, and I want you to hear me on this, it starts with poor in spirit. The first beatitude that we encounter is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and it says this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does poor in spirit mean? I want to break it down for just a moment, and then we're going to move on. But the first word is poor. And when you're poor, it means that you are dependent on someone else, right? If I ain't got the money, if I'm poor, you ever heard someone say, he's so poor he couldn't pay attention? I like that one. It's one of my favorite ones. You know, but if you're poor, it means you can't pay for something. You don't have the money. You have this poverty mentality that I can't do it on my own. I need some help, right? And the word spirit here, it's referring to a supernatural being or our spirit man, okay? Our spirit man that lives in us. So when we are poor in spirit, it means that our spirit man gets to a point that it completely relies on someone else or it's completely dependent on God. That's what poor in spirit means. That means that we can't make it on our own. We can't do this on our own. We cannot operate. Think about this question. How do you know you're not yet poor in spirit? And here's the answer. It's because you're rich in history. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So Jesus begins his most famous sermon by telling us that we are blessed if we are poor in spirit. We are blessed if we are completely dependent on God. And if you look at the word blessed, you will see that it means happy. So happy you will be if you are poor in spirit. Now, wouldn't you think those are completely opposites? I mean, how can I be happy if I'm poor? And don't we think that? We think that in the mentality that we live in the United States, where everything is so success-driven and so we got to make money. We got to, you know, we got to have the nice cars and the nice house, and we got to dress to impress. And we've got to show everybody that we got it. So when we think of being blessed, we don't think about being poor. But here Jesus is. He's beginning his most famous sermon by telling us that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's completely opposite of our mindset, of what we think about. But here Jesus is telling us we need to be poor in spirit. We need to be completely dependent upon God. We need God to control our life. We need him to have first place. We need him to be front and center of our life, moving us, guiding us, leading us, correcting us, helping us to be all that he wants us to be. Amen? And Jesus also gives us our reward. If we are poor in spirit, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if I am poor in spirit, if I am completely dependent on God, my reward that is waiting on me is the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I want that. Amen? I want that. I want the kingdom of heaven. In order to receive the kingdom of heaven, Jesus tells me that I must be poor in spirit. I must be completely dependent on God, the Father who rules in heaven. So what does being poor in spirit mean? What does being completely dependent on God mean? Now, I took a moment to think about what poor in spirit means, and I came up with a few words to describe it. So here we're going to go through these just for the next few moments. The first one that I came up with is surrender. Now, I don't know about you. I watch a bunch of cop shows. I like them. CSI, you know, Law and Order. How you go blank after a few. I like those cop shows. And what's one thing when you got the people, they're inside the house. What's the one thing that you know every one of them says, you need to surrender and come out with your hands up, right? That's a sign of surrender, is it not? It's a sign of surrender. I'm giving myself up. I am not going to do anything. If I've got any, you know, the guy's like, if I got any weapons on it, I'm showing you that I'm not going for my weapon. A lot of times, if you've ever seen those police chase videos, they'll have them place their weapon down and lay flat on their belly. What are they doing? They are surrendering. They are giving themselves up. They are saying, I am not going to resist anything anymore. I'm laying myself at your feet, and I am surrendering, giving you complete control of my life. Here's a definition for surrender. Surrender means to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. So when I surrender myself to God, I am telling him that I don't want control of my life. I want to surrender it all to him. That's what we're saying. When we are poor in spirit, we are giving ourselves up. We are laying ourselves at the feet of Jesus. And we are saying, I cannot take control of my life anymore. I cannot do the things that I think I should be able to do. But I am laying my life at your feet. I am giving it all to you. I am letting you take full control of me. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Sometimes we just need that rest. We realize we cannot do it anymore. We've tried. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, we've tried to do it on our own. We've tried to make it happen. We've tried the remedies, whatever those may be. And we decide that we can't do it on our own. We can't make it on our own. So we completely surrender to Him and say, Lord, I am yours. Everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that I'm not, I lay it at your feet and I surrender my life to you. If you're tired of carrying the heavy burden that you've been carrying, then it's time to surrender your life to God and let Him take over. Amen. Become poor in spirit so that you can be blessed. Number two, sacrifice. There are going to be times in your life that you don't feel like praising God. But look at what Hebrews 13:15 says. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a what? Sacrifice of praise. What does that mean? Even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to praise the Lord. When I'm hurting, when I've gone through so much, when I don't seem to have the answers, when I just don't get it anymore, when I don't understand why this or that happens, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking of something that I didn't even put this in my message, but I was thinking about it. It's a good story about Paul and Silas. It's one of my favorite stories in Scripture. They had been out preaching, evangelizing, ministering. And this woman had come and she had, I believe she was demon-possessed or something, and she was heckling them the whole time. Everywhere they would go, she'd just follow them and heckle them. Well, Paul, the bold dude that he is, he'd had enough. And he just turned her and said, demon, come out of you, basically. And she just kind of dropped limp, and you know, she was set free, and she was just, but these guys were using her to make money. She was like a fortune teller for them, you know, trying to, you know, and so she had this demon in her. She was set free from Paul. So these guys were mad now. They had them thrown in jail, and the Bible says that they were beaten severely. Now, when I was a kid, I got a spanking. I don't consider it a beating, but it didn't feel good. Anybody else had a spanking before? It don't feel good, does it? You know what I mean? But it wasn't a beating. And this says, the Bible says that they were severely beaten and they were placed in the deepest, darkest of the prison. I mean, we're talking nasty. It was, and these prisons aren't like what we get, okay? And I'm not saying that prisons here are great either. I'm just saying these were like nasty, dingy, grimy, gross. And they were at the lowest level of this prison. And here they are. I can just imagine them hanging there with chains. And they're like, what are we going to do? And I can even see possibly a conversation between Paul and Silas. And I don't know, maybe Silas was kind of upset at Paul. You know, Paul, I told you to leave that, you know, I told you to leave that girl alone, you know. And maybe even Silas asked Paul, hey, Paul, what are we going to do? And I can just imagine Paul saying, we're going to sing. What? Here we are. We're in the deepest, darkest dungeon possible. And it's so gross and it's so nasty down here. And you want me to sing? Yes, I want you to sing. And I could just see him singing the most amazing melody possible. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. Lord, I magnify you. And as they begin to sing at the top of their lungs, I will praise the Lord. Amen. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I'm still going to praise the Lord. And as they begin to sing those songs of praise, what happened? Those chains begin to fall off. You hear what I'm saying? Those chains begin to fall. Can I tell you, there are times in our life that we don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't know what's going on. We don't feel like praising the Lord. But yet this scripture right here tells me that even in the darkest times, I'm going to come before God and I'm going to make a sacrifice of praise, okay? Even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to sacrifice my pride. I'm going to sacrifice my feelings. I'm going to sacrifice everything, and I'm going to come before the throne of God, and I'm going to lift up my hands, and I'm going to worship Him and praise Him, amen? Because He's King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords, and He's worthy to be praised, amen? Making a sacrifice. The term sacrifice and praise, they might seem opposites. We think sacrifice is offering something at great cost to ourselves. Praise, on the other hand, sounds joyful as it bubbles from a grateful heart. However, think about this. In the spiritual realm, sacrifice and praise, they're intertwined. Praise does not always cost us something. Do you hear me? We praise our dogs, right? For fetching the ball and people for a job well done. Praise is often our response to some action that directly benefits us, and we feel generous because we extend it. We often find it easy to praise God from the same motivation. When He has blessed us, when He's helped us, when He's protected us, we feel generous toward Him. We can sing, worship, and talk about how good He is because we can see it. And that kind of praise, although worthwhile, does not cost us anything. It is not a sacrifice. Then there are those times when God did not come through the way we thought He would. The medical test comes back positive. The spouse wants a divorce. A child is wayward. The mortgage company calls in the loan. God seems very far away, and praise is the last thing to bubble up from our hearts, right? To praise God in those times, that requires personal sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. God, we don't understand, but we bring a sacrifice of praise. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a refuge. You hear me? A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. And the third word that came to my mind when I was thinking about becoming completely dependent on God is mercy. God showed us His mercy when He sent His Son Jesus. Amen? When He came to the cross to die for our sins, He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Luke chapter 1, verse 50 says, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. We'll be teaching our kids about mercy. Have you ever done something to someone and they've shown you mercy? Whatever, it may be something big, it may be something small. You didn't deserve the mercy, right? You didn't deserve it, but you received it because that person was gracious, right? We all want mercy because we are flawed human beings. Hey, if you're perfect, will you just raise your hand? I want to get to know you. Anybody here? I need to put my hand down, y'all, because I am not perfect. You can just ask my wife and kids. They'll tell you Dad is not perfect. Jesus explained that the poor in spirit are blessed. The poor in spirit realize that they cannot please God on their own. They are poor, or if you want to put another word to it, bankrupt inwardly, unable to give anything of value to God, and thus must depend on His mercy. There's another word that goes with it, and that word is grace. We sing the song all the time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Right? That saved a what? Wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm see. God's grace is unmerited favor from God. God is often used to refer to, or grace is often used to refer to the gift of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Grace is God favoring us with His presence, His love, His help, His power. It is heavenly strength. Give to those who depend on God and call on Him for help. This grace will be with faithful Christians who allow their personal weaknesses and difficulties to become a means of honoring Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says what? We all know this one. I can do all things, or all this, through Him, meaning Christ, who gives me strength. The greater our weakness and sufferings for Christ, the more grace God will give to accomplish His purposes. I need God's grace. Amen? That grace is always sufficient for each new day so that we can accomplish what He desires for that day and endure any suffering. Think about all the weaknesses you may have. We should be grateful for our weaknesses, right? We need to see eternal value in those weaknesses because they allow Christ's power to be revealed in and through us as we journey through life toward our heavenly home. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. And I love this part of it. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I tell you, this old boy's tired. I'm not here to ask for sympathy, but I'd worked the rodeo 6 days, preached a sermon, went to camp 5 days. We went and did stuff Friday. I probably should have rested, but I wanted to go do stuff with the family. And then I came home and I crashed that night, Friday night. I was tired. Got up the next morning, came and finished the sermon. And then I just had some me time yesterday just to relax. So can I tell you, it was hard. It was easy, but it was hard standing up before you today to preach a sermon because the body is tired. The flesh is weak. It's tired. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and I'm tired. Does anybody else feel tired? You know what I'm talking about? But it's when I'm weakest, He becomes strongest. Amen? So that's why we rejoice in our weaknesses. We rejoice in our vulnerabilities because then we can depend upon Him. We become poor in spirit, saying that we cannot depend on anyone other than God. I need God's grace to get me through the day. When I am poor in spirit, needing to rely completely on God, that is when God's grace is strongest. Amen? And that's something to rejoice in. And the last word this morning is humility. People who are poor in spirit humble themselves before God. I'm going to take you to a book that you may not go to very often. Zephaniah. That's a great word, isn't it? Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, one of the minor prophets. He said this, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what He commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. I want you to hear me, okay? The prophet Zephaniah, he offers us hope, okay? He offers hope to those who had already turned to the Lord for mercy and help. He challenged them in this to deepen their commitment to God and his purposes so that he might shelter them when he came to punish his people. So it was coming. Punishment from God was coming. They had messed up. They had to seek after three things. Okay, here's the three things. You can write these down if you want. And they sought after these three things if they hoped to experience spiritual revival and renewed blessing from God. And here's three things that are just as important for us today, okay? Here they are. First, we need to pursue a right relationship with God himself. If you're saved, keep pursuing that relationship. If you're not, it's time. And my question to you is, how much time do you spend with God your Father? It amazes me that we can spend hours binge-watching a show on Netflix, but we can't read our Bibles for 5 minutes. Think about it. I'm not here to point fingers. I think we all have struggles. I think we all have issues. But we can sit down and we can watch an entire series in a setting, but yet we can't take 5 minutes to read the Scriptures. We can scroll through posts on Facebook, but we can't spend 5 minutes a day in prayer talking to our Father in heaven. We can have conversations with strangers about the latest movies, but we can't share our faith with our neighbors. Think about this. How deeper are you going into your relationship with God? Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me," what? "With all your heart." He don't want just a part of it. He don't want just a piece of it. God wants all of it. And second, we have to truly seek to do what is right according to God's Word. What is God's Word telling us? Have you studied God's Word for yourself lately? Or do you just rely on me to get you through the week? Don't just put your faith in me. I ain't the one that saved you. Read and study God's Word for yourself. Make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. And then stop putting everything else ahead of God. Start making him first in your life. I love this scripture, Matthew 6:33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And then thirdly, here's the last one. You must be genuinely humble. You need to realize that you are helpless, and you need to rely on God's power and God's plans for your life. I need to be poor in spirit. Psalm 45:4 says, "In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth. Humility and justice, let your right hand achieve awesome deeds." And then Proverbs 15:33 says, "Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor." I need to be poor in spirit. I need to surrender everything I have to God the Father, and I need to be completely dependent on him. And when I do this, then according to God's Son, Jesus, I will receive the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Isn't that the ultimate destination that we're all looking forward to? Isn't that where we all want to eventually be, right? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I want to submit myself to God. I want to lay it all out. I want to surrender everything to him and say, "Lord, I am poor in spirit because I can't do this on my own. I can't make it on my own. I need him every single day." Amen? Because when I am weak, when I'm at my worst, when I am vulnerable, when I am tired, when I'm struggling, when I cannot keep going on, I have to rely on him. I'm poor in spirit. God, I lay my life at your feet. I need you in my life today. God, I want to be poor in spirit. Let's pray. God, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for being here today. And God, I pray for every person that's here, every person that's in this room today, God. I pray that they come before you today, they come before you now, and they say, "I want to be poor in spirit." If they're not already, I want them to stretch out their arms, stretch out their hands to you and say, I need to rely on you, Father. I need you more today than I did before. I can't do this on my own. I can't make this. I cannot go another step, another day, another moment. I'm poor in spirit because I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm tired, I'm weary, maybe it's been a rough week, rough month, rough year. Maybe you've been trying to do a lot of stuff on your own. I want you to know right now, let Jesus take the load. Let Him take those burdens off of you. Become poor in spirit. Realize that you can't do this on your own. You can't continue to keep doing what you're doing. You have to surrender it to Him. Lay your life at His feet and say, Lord, I want to be poor in spirit. If that's you, if you would just raise your hand, I want to pray with you right now. I'm tired. I'm weary. Maybe this week's been a struggle. Maybe this month's been a struggle. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, you're just saying, I need a pick-me-up, if you would. I need the Lord to give me strength, whatever it is. Hallelujah. I see that. Can I just pray for y'all this morning? If we can, all over this place, let's just pray. Lord, we need a pick-me-up, God. We surrender our life to You. We need to be restored in our spirit. We need some health. God, we realize that we can't make it without You. We need You. We surrender our lives to You. We lay our lives at Your feet. Maybe we're weary, tired, burdensome, whatever it is, God. Whatever it is, Lord, we just need to lay it at Your feet. And we come before You right now, and we give it to You. We want to be poor in spirit. Can't do this on my own anymore. I have to rely on You, Father. Hallelujah. God, we thank You. And we just worship Him all over this place this morning. Lord, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord God. We praise You. Lord, we praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord.
We wait.
Hallelujah, Lord. We praise You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord God. We magnify Your name.
We wait.
Lord, we worship You, Jesus. God, we praise You, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise You.
Walk in the room.